Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In honor of Krishna's appearance, Krishna Janmashtami, we're going to read a verse from the prayers by the demigods to Lord Krishna, while Lord Krishna was still within the womb of Devaki. So it's chapter 2 from Canto 6, and the text is number 30. Twayambhu jaksha kila sattva dhamni. Samadhina veshita chitta saike. Tvatpada potena mahatkritena. Kurvanti govatsa padam bhavam dhi. Twayam bhujaksha kira sattva dhamni. Samadhi gnave shita chitta saike. Tvatpada potena mahatkritena. Kurvanti govatsa padam bhavabdhi. Twayi, in you, Ambuja Aksha, O lotus-eyed Lord, Akila Sattvadhamni, who are the original cause of all existence, from whom everything emanates, and in whom all potencies reside. Samadhina, by constant meditation and complete absorption in thoughts of you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Avishita, fully absorbed, fully engaged, Chetasa, but by such a mentality, Eke, the one process of always thinking of your lotus feet, Tvatpadapotena, by boarding such a boat as your lotus feet. Mahatkritena, by that action which is considered the most powerful original existence, or which is executed by the Mahajans. Kurvanti, they make Govatsa padam, like the hoofprint of a calf. Bhava abdhim, the great ocean of nescience. Translation, O lotus-eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nations, one follows in the footsteps of the Mahajans, great saints, sages, and devotees. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nations as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. 2 pages, so be patient. The true mission of life is to cross the ocean of nations of repeated birth and death. Those in the darkness of ignorance, however, do not know this mission. Instead, being carried away by the waves of material nature, prakrite kriyamana nigunai karmani sarvashaha, they are undergoing the tribulations of mrityu samsara vartmani, repeated birth and death. But persons who have achieved knowledge by the association of devotees follow the mahajanas, mahatkritena. Such a person always concentrates his mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord and executes one or more of the nine varieties of devotional service. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishno, smaranam, padasevanam. Simply by this process, one can cross the insurmountable ocean of nations. Paragraph. Devotional service is powerful in any form. He quotes Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, two of the nine processes. Sri Vishnu Shravane Parikshit Abhavad Vairyasaki Vyasaki Kirtane. According to this verse, Maharaj Parikshit became liberated by fully concentrating his mind on hearing the Lord's holy name, attributes, and pastimes. Similarly, Shukadeva Goswami simply glorified the Lord, and by speaking on the subject matters of Krishna that constitute the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, he too was liberated. One may also be liberated simply by sakya, or friendly behavior with the Lord. Such is the power of devotional service, as we learn from the examples set by the Lord's many pure devotees. Quoting 6th Canto Bhagavatam, Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilomanu Pralado Janako Bhishmo Balier Vyasakir Vayam. We have to follow in the footsteps of such devotees, for by this one easy process, one can cross the great ocean of nations, just as one might cross a small hole created by the hoof of a calf. Not even a cow, but a calf. It's not go, but go vatsa. Calf. Little. Okay, we're halfway done with the purport. Next paragraph. Here the Lord is described as Ambujaksha, or lotus-eyed. By seeing the eyes of the Lord, which are compared to lotus flowers, one becomes so satisfied that one does not want to turn his eyes to anything else. Simply by seeing the transcendental form of the Lord, a devotee is at once fully absorbed in the Lord in the heart. This absorption is called samadhi. Pretty fast, huh? At once. Jnana vastita tadgatena manasa pashantiyam yoginaha. Bhagavatam, 12th canto. A yogi is fully absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he has no other business than to think of the Lord always within the heart. It is also said, Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punya yasho murare bhavam buddhir vatsapadam param padam 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 yadvipadam natesham. Translation. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the demon Mura, the ocean of material world, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's footprint. His goal is Parampadam, or Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. Continuing the paragraph, this process is recommended here by authorities like Brahma and Lord Shiva, Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, and therefore you must take to this process in order to transcend nescience. This is very easy, but we must follow in the footsteps of great personalities, and then success will be possible. And final paragraph. In regard to the word Mahat Kritena, it is also significant that the process shown by great devotees is not only for them, but also for others. If things are made easy, this affords facility for the person who has made them easy, and also for others who follow the same principles. The process recommended in this verse for crossing the ocean of nescience is easy, not only for the devotee, but for common persons who follow the devotee. Mahajano yena kata sapanta. End of purport. So we'll go back to the verse. Twayambuja shakila sattvadhamni samadhi na vishita chetasaike tvat pada potena mahatkritena kurvanti govatsa padam bhavabdhim. Again, the translation. O lotus eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nescience, one follows in the footsteps of the Mahajans, or great saints, sages, and devotees. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nescience as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. As Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, this image of water in the hoofprint of a calf is used in several places in the Bhagavatam. In one sense, it's metaphorical language. In another sense, it's literal. In metaphor, something that is known can be compared to something that is unknown. That's the use in composition or literature for metaphor. It's an embellishment that something that's beyond our experience, and you want to explain something beyond our experience to someone that hasn't experienced that, which is beyond their experience. So something that's known is used to indicate something that's unknown. And one of the rules in composition is the more the items of similarity are there, the better. The metaphor, and in some cases, the opposite is true. If there are not sufficient items of similarity, then it's to be discarded. It doesn't. It's improper to use it. So, the circumstance, we'll connect back to the metaphor, but the circumstance is Krishna is imprisoned. Well, Vasudeva and Devaki are imprisoned, and Krishna is in the womb of Devaki, and therefore the Supreme Lord is imprisoned and is going to appear in a prison. It's irony. Or how can that be? How can the Supreme Lord be confined to a prison? Not possible. But, and not only that, the demigods, they're assembling in the prison to honor the personality of God as he was going to appear in the prison. And it's a lila, because the material world is Durga, a place of a prison house, and Durga Devi is in charge. She's the prison warden. And once people get in the prison, they don't get out. She's good. She's really good. People may try to appease the prison warden so that their sufferings in the prison are mitigated. Commonly, that's one of a major motivation for persons who worship their shaktas, or they worship Shakti. They wish to mitigate their difficulties by the mercy of the prison warden. But the prison warden does not have the power to free somebody from the prison. The governor or the president or head of state may be able to do that, but the person who's overseeing the prison doesn't have the authority to relieve somebody from prison. Or they're doing something criminal also. So she doesn't do that. She doesn't award liberation. So once in the prison, what to do? Just remain in the prison, that's one option. Or understand there's another purpose to the prison, the rectification of one's situation. And by kindness, the person who is actually in charge of the prison may appear. And then that's the significance of Krishna Janmashtami. He who has made this prison house, ultimately, he's the cause of all causes, he appears in the prison house of Kamsa as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki to provide the means for persons in, now the metaphorical, the prison house of material existence, to get freed from material existence. And material existence is compared to a big ocean. Ambuti. Ocean of material existence. To cross an ocean, it's very dangerous, and it takes a lot of time. And there is no certainty to get to the other side. The nature of remembrance of Krishna, this our special opportunity on Krishna Janmashtami, from, you know, what to speak of morning till night for days in advance in anticipation of Krishna Janmashtami, so many arrangements. I didn't hear it, although I was just right up here, but Jitendriya told me there were devotees up till 2 o'clock in the morning making a lot of noise here in the temple room, painting and whatever else they were doing and more, you know, to prepare for Krishna Janmashtami. And so many, those temple devotees certainly know, so many other things. Flowers and boga and cooking and So many arrangements to honor Krishna. And then the day. So the activities of devotion are meant to provide a facility for remembrance of Krishna. This Krishna explicitly says in Bhagavad Gita that the means of achieving him is two. Always engage in your prescribed duties of service to him, and always think of him. not only always think of him or only engage in prescribed duties and don't think of him. But this is very simple and very practical. Through the medium, devotional service provides the medium by which one can exercise or carry out, exhibit, live according to one's psychophysical nature, work or do or perform in the embodied condition according to the physical and psychological propensities, and always think of Krishna, because if the activity is dedicated unto Krishna. And his appearance, so Krishna Janmashtami, he appears to provide us with subject matters to hear, chant, and remember. Prabhupada chooses in the purport to emphasize the first two of the nine processes. The hearing part that Maharaj Pariksit does, then the speaking part, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. And he quotes Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Maharaj Pariksit achieved perfection. Abhavad. So there's bhava and there's abhava. Abhava means without. Miseries, without material existence. He achieved that realm beyond material existence just by hearing. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada is saying is in every page, in every word, in every line, is glorification of Krishna. And his mind became completely fixed on Krishna. It's just by this one thing, hearing. And Shukadeva Goswami, the verse also indicates, achieved that stage of perfection just by speaking. Or the other item that's mentioned here is friendship. Sakya. One may also be liberated simply by sakya, or friendly behavior with the Lord. The point is, devotional service is very powerful if taken up properly, especially joined with the process of hearing and chanting. The emphasis upon hearing and chanting is in the purport, and it's the process of the whole Bhagavatam, and here's the demigods. So a little bit about the demigods, because after this chapter, Vasudeva and Devaki, they're going to make their prayers to Krishna after he's appeared. But this is before he's appeared. That's why we're speaking on this in the morning. He hasn't appeared yet. These are demigods. And what's the position of demigods? They're devotees that still have desire. If they had devotees without material desire, they'd be in Vaikuntha. They're not in Vaikuntha. They want to attain the realm of Vaikuntha, and they know the means, and the means is fixing their mind upon the personality of Godhead. And fixing their mind upon the personality of Godhead, that's the boat that can cross the ocean of material existence. By constant concentrating one's meditation upon your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nescience, one follows the process of the Mahajans. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nescience as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. So I remember hearing Prabhupada speak about this. On different occasions, he used the same kind of language to explain There's a whole material existence is vast. Find the depths of the ocean. Good luck. It's very, 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 very deep. And material existence is also, the breadth and depth of the ocean is vast. Trying to cross is very difficult, but remembrance of the personality of Godhead, Prabhupada motioned with his hands, shrinks that ocean into a very small amount of water that can fit in the hoofprint of a calf. Very small amount of water. Big amount of water becomes a small amount of water. How? By devotional service, by remembrance of the personality of Godhead. Go the other way. Forgetfulness of the personality of Godhead. Oh, it becomes so big. Insurmountable. Isn't it? Especially one who's sincerely trying to cross it. Or, you know, whether it's struggling with the things of life, or whether it's struggling with trying to be fixed in chanting japa. To get to the other side of inattentive chanting to attentive chanting, try and see how vast the ocean is of where the mind wants to go instead of to Krishna. It's insurmountable. We can't do it on our own. So the constant remembrance that is being advocated by the demigods requires the mercy of great devotees, that in this case the Mahajans. That's what's in the next verse. But following them, faithfully following them, and appealing to them for their mercy, so that this very simple hookup or Krishna by remembrance of him can be made possible. So back to the demigods. The demigods, their administrators, their devotees, their administrators of the affairs of the universe on behalf of the personality of Godhead, but there's a mix, and at least in this case, they're quite aware of the mix, you know, the material affinity that they have, and that material affinity generates the ocean of material existence that then is but illusory and can shrink to next to nothing, insignificant. Something but next to nothing. Just some appreciation a little bit from Sri Brahma Samhita. It's described there in Sri Brahma Samhita that in Goloka, in Krishna's abode, because here's Krishna's descending, his appearance is he's descending from that upper spiritual realm to this material realm, to the prison house of Kamsa. But there's demigods in the upper realm also, which is very surprising in one sense. Because demigods that we know, they're controllers of the affairs of the universe. So it's described, text 5, if my memory is right, that in the outer region where Krishna resides is known as Svetadvipa, and there's a whole bunch of things and persons in that Svetadvipa region. There's tridents pointing in the 10 directions to keep people out that are unqualified. And tridents are like a spear with three prongs on the end. Trishul, like Lord Shiva. Trishul. And there's tridents in every direction. And these tridents, the three prongs, indicate both the three modes of nature and the three phases of time. So the indication is that if there are persons that are attracted to or under the influence of any one of the three modes of material nature, unless one has come to the stage of Vishuddha Sattva, they're going to be caught on the tridents. Or three phases of time, past, present, future. The platform of devotional service is eternal. So if one's consciousness is not truly, factually, fixed upon Krishna, which is being described in this verse, fixed upon Krishna, if one's mind is not truly fixed upon Krishna, then one will be influenced by the phases of time and the tridents capture. Now the reference to the demigods in Sweta Dweep is they have a function different than the demigods here. You know the saying, as above, so below. Heard that before. So whatever we find here has its counterpart in the spiritual world, or vice versa. Everything that exists in the spiritual world has its perverted reflection counterpart in this world. So there's the term that's used is Digpals. They're protectors of the Dham. They similarly prevent unqualified persons from entering. So don't try to enter unless you become qualified, or say it better, become qualified. Then you can enter. Say it the other way. If you're not qualified, there's no way you can enter the presence of Krishna. You have to become qualified. So those demigods are already in the kingdom of God, and the ones that are here wish to attain the kingdom of God. And to attain the kingdom of God, personality of Godhead appears here, performs his pastimes, just like our famous Bhagavad Gita verse. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. By understanding the transcendental, divyam, transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and his activities, purna janma na vidyate, one will not take birth again in this world. So that the demigods wish for that. And they're appreciating Krishna Janmashtami, the advent of Lord Krishna, for that reason. And in the spiritual world, one of the things that we say is so Goloka, meaning we will say upper Golok, the spiritual world in the Vaikuntha realm, where the modes of nature are absent and karma is absent and time is eternal, that Goloka is not different than the place where Krishna performs his pastimes in this realm. We'll say Gokula, that nomenclature. But because of the same, in fact, they can be interchanged. But Goloka, meaning we will say upper Golok, the spiritual world in the Vaikuntha realm, where the modes of nature are absent and karma is absent and time is eternal, that Goloka is not different than the place where Krishna performs his pastimes in this realm. We'll say Gokula, that nomenclature. But because of the same, in fact, they can be interchanged, but upper Golok and Gokula, they're non-different. But there's some difference. And one of them is, in Goloka, there's no birth pastime. There's no birth pastime. But here, there's a birth pastime. So, those two personalities, Vasudeva and Devaki, as well, even especially Nanda and Yashoda. Nanda and Yashoda don't experience the birth pastime of Krishna in Goloka, but they experience it here. And the Nanda and Yashoda who are here are none different than Nanda and Yashoda there, but they experience the birth pastime. And then demons, we say, that's another difference. Here, there's killing of demons. But there's no demons in Goloka. So there can't be killings of demons in Goloka. But here's a nice description from, I'm not sure if it's Gopal Champu. One of our acharyas described like this. Although there's no demons in Goloka, there's rumors of demons. And it details ways in which these rumors are spread. Some very strange personality comes running into Braja. No one has seen this person before. Complete stranger. And starts calling out loudly, Agasura is coming. And Agasura is just lying in the road anyways in the Leela, but Agasura is coming. And everyone goes, oh no, Agasura is coming, Krishna! And then they look for Agasura and they can't find Agasura anywhere. And then this mysterious person just disappears. So it's just, there's rumors that there's demons. And then another example is given. There's a big sign that shows the picture of one of the demons. You know, Aristasura. Like a billboard. I mean, it doesn't say billboard, but like a billboard. And they're walking along the paths of Braja and they see this big billboard. Aristasura is coming. So they, Aristasura, Krishna! And there's no Aristasura and the billboard disappeared. There's rumors of demons. What's the role of demons? Well, the role of demons here is to separately enjoy the property of Krishna. That's what they think their assignment is. Adversity toward Krishna and usurping that which is Krishna's and using it in some awful way, some demoniac way, some hurtful, harmful mode of ignorance way. That's their program. They don't have any, so when there are demons, then there's also devotees in this world, and the devotees seek protection from Krishna, from the demons. And taking shelter of divine propensities, divine activity, and as far as the demons are concerned, taking shelter of Krishna for one's protection. It's one of the six primary limbs or angas of surrender to see Krishna as my protector. So, protector from what? Protector, at least in one of the items, is protector from demons. So the demons are important. They help us take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna, like with Vasudeva and Devaki, you know, sometimes people ask this question or something related, you know, why would such exalted personalities as, and they, you know, give the name of whatever the personality in Krishna's pastimes are, be put into such a difficult situation? Vasudeva and Devaki were put in prison. And Krishna says to them after he's born, you're pure. And you underwent austerities with such a strong desire to have me as your son. So I appeared in this very same form that you're seeing just now. And I told you that for three lifetimes, consecutive lifetimes, I'll appear as your son. And I fulfilled my promise, and this is the third time. But this third time I'm appearing like this, so you don't mistake that when I assume a childlike form, I'll look like You know, you'll think I'm just an ordinary child. I'm the personality of Godhead. Like that. Krishna wanted them to know. So why would Vasudeva and Devaki be put into such difficulty? And I can tell you from, you know, as a traveling sannyasi, that kind of question arises all the time. Why are people that good put into difficulty? Whether it's people that somebody knows or a personality that's in Krishna's pastimes. And when people get stuck, they really get stuck. I mean, I've had experiences, even recently, where it went like 6 times around. They just like didn't get it. How can somebody that's, you know, why not something else? There's a difficulty is in one sense, it's welcome for a devotee because it increases the intensity of shelter taking. I mean, it's a very nice example. If you know, I could easily take a half an hour to describe this wonderful pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Sanatana Goswami was put into a position where he had no shelter but one. He didn't have any interest in anything other than Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya intensified that, like turned the screw and tightened it. And he gave her no position other than his lotus feet through the wet itches that he contracted by traveling through the Jharkhand forest. With all this beautiful sequence of details, at the end, when he doesn't know what to do, he was ready to commit suicide, he was ready to leave Vrindavan, he was ready to, and Lord Chaitanya told him, no, you can't commit suicide, and no, you can't leave Vrindavan, and you know, whatever he came up with as a solution to his dilemma, you know, Lord Chaitanya was no. And so he's completely obedient to Lord Chaitanya. He couldn't do anything other than what Lord Chaitanya said. And he would plead with Lord Chaitanya, please don't embrace me because my body has these smelly, pussy sores. And it's terrible to think of that yucky stuff smearing on your body as you come to embrace me. Please don't touch me. And Lord Chaitanya took that one away too. He said, no, it's very nice. Like a mother with a baby that's all messy. The mother loves the baby. And with the baby comes the messy, but she's very happy. It's the affection of the mother. So like the affection of the mother, I have affection for you. And he embraced him, and the sores went away. And witnessing the situation was Haridas Thakur has said, Sanatana Goswami, you're the greatest recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He orchestrated all of this just to bring you to the position of being completely dependent on him. And then he took the problem away. He just took the problem away. But it's not like Krishna has to take the problem away in order to demonstrate that he has affection for his devotee. The problem may continue. I know some situations where people's problems are continuing. And then sometimes they get worse. It's more complicated. And so it's not like a rule that Krishna's got to make the problems go away. But when difficulties are there, whether it's through demons or circumstances or whatever it is, something that's of this temporary world, and it's a difficulty. Personality of Godhead. So here we are in a prison house where Vasudeva and Devaki, not only they're in a prison house, but they've had the experience already of 6 children being killed by Kamsa And he knows it's the eighth child of Devaki. Devaki's eighth pregnancy is now. So, wouldn't they be in anxiety? And they're in prison. And there's the eighth child, and there's Kamsa waiting for the eighth child to be born. Their anxiety. What's the purpose of it? It increased its shelter taking in Krishna. But they're pure devotees. They can handle that particular difficulty. We're not pure devotees. We don't have that particular difficulty. We're not thrown in jail with, a terrible demoniac king committing to kill the child in the womb of the mother. We have other kinds of difficulties. So what's the means of crossing the ocean of difficulty? The lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And grab hold of them. Take shelter of them. Always remember them. And our Krishna Janmashtami function is an opportunity to do that through all everything, through all the services, through the kirtan, through the katha, through the beautifully decorated altar. And it's not over yet. I'm sure there's going to be much more. And the devotees that are the pujaris that have been thinking about this for however long, a few weeks, and the basement's filled with flowers, and the pujari room is filled with flowers, and it's all going to be on the altar. It's going to be fantastic. So the meditation is for the pleasure of the personality of Godhead, making offerings unto Him. Well, offerings unto Radha Krishna. Kishore Kishori. That's there, and each one of us can have some role to play. Don't miss out on the abundant service opportunities to engage in prescribed duties and always think of Krishna, specifically on Krishna Janmashtami Day. It's a great opportunity for remembrance of Him. By that medium of remembrance of Him, the ocean of material existence can be easily crossed, as easy as one can step over the water in the hoof print of a calf. I'll end there, see if there's any discussion or questions. Yes.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I have sort of a two-part question, depending on your answer to the first part.
Okay.
I've heard somewhere that the Krishna born to Devaki and Devaki and Vasudev is not Swayamrup Krishna, it's
right.
Vasudev Krishna.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why wasn't Swayamrup Krishna born to them?
Well, he was, because he's eternally in Vrindavan. That's one answer. They were in Mathura. And he's eternally in Vrindavan. That's Swayambhu Krishna. What else? That was it. Okay. Let's go to Brahma Samhita again. Brahma Samhita describes that Goloka, at the center of Goloka, there's a flower that has a corolla at the center and petals. And that's Krishna Loka, and the center of the corolla is Radha Krishna. And then outside the petals, there's other regions where the associates of Krishna reside. But that's his place at the center. And then there's a circle around where the petals are, and outside that is Swetadweep, where Mathura and Dwarka, which are part of Goloka. But it's not the inner part. It's not Braja. It's Mathura and Dwarka, where Krishna also resides. So it's also Krishna. But Krishna in Mathura is not Swayambhu Krishna. So it's still part of the spiritual world. It's part of Krishna's pastime. He appears there, and then he comes here. And then he goes there, and then he goes there. And they're all places in Goloka. As above, so below. So he displays all of that. And there are different moods in those different places. Different kinds of love. And Krishna appears according to the kind of love of the residents in this place, that place. Now there are things that Prabhupada said specifically about those who dedicate their life to Lord Chaitanya and the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And then things like if at that moment of death one is not fully absorbed in remembrance of Krishna, Krishna will appear in their mind. For those who have been completely dedicated their lives to Lord Chaitanya. Our special mercy is that. Lord Chaitanya. The most merciful. And not like contractual. I'll do this, you do that kind of business entrepreneurial thing. But just dedication to Lord Chaitanya's mission, and his mission is giving love of God, specifically giving love of God in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. So we have to absorb ourselves in that and give that. And one of the ways to give that is through the medium of what you're doing, the literature that Srimad Bhagavatam in our line of disciplic succession, where it specifically teaches that kind of love and the means to attain it. But so practice it as well as distribute the literature. Know what's in the literature, practice what's in the literature, and so strive accordingly. You know, it gives me a little apprehension to think, well, if I don't complete, then he'll make up the difference. We should think, let me become pure. And whatever was required to become pure, let me do that. Like the first deserve, then desire. So let my first project be to become pure, to become eligible for that special mercy by showing, I wish, you know, by effort, by sincerely applying oneself to the means given by our very merciful acharyas, and within that effort, the mercy is there. It's already there. Something else? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.